Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio. We're in the studio with Dee, Adriana, Tara, and myself, Sandy, and we are in Philippians 3, and we did verse 1 last time.
We didn't get to the whole
verse. It's crazy, but it's great. You know, we talked about rejoicing. We talked about true joy and how Christ is our focal point.
Mm. Yeah. So I want to open with this question before we read the passage. Where in your life do you need to rejoice?
Some days everywhere.
Is this a yes and answer?
Yeah.
Where in your life do you need to rejoice?
Let me think about this a second. Where do I need to rejoice?
I
think, you know, anytime you're in a circumstance, whether it's, I'm thinking of Tara right now with all of her problems with her feet, because of zip lining, you know, that's so hard to rejoice in. And I know when you have health problems sometimes, but boy, that's when you need to rejoice the most. I remember when Steve and I both had cancer at the same time, we rejoiced because we knew God was in control. I had peace, you know. So right now, it isn't as easy for me to rejoice in everything. So I'm working on that. I'm a work in progress, that's for sure.
And that's crazy because you're not battling cancer.
No. That's what's crazy about the whole thing. I have a lawn issue that's driving me crazy for the last 6 months, and water and rain, and it's not my house, so I'm rejoicing that it's not in my house.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. For me, like, I know it's very hard for me to rejoice when I'm in situations where I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like anytime you're facing uncertainty and you're like, okay, I have no idea where I'm going to be working in a few weeks. I have no idea anything in life right now, you know, those types of situations, it's very hard to rejoice in because you have a tendency to freak out and
the unknown.
Yeah. Unknown is a hard thing.
Unknown's a toughie.
It's hard to rejoice in pain. That's my thing right now. It's like chronic pain. I'm dealing with that because of the zip lining hitting the tree with my feet. And so having constant pain, I find that I am not as quick to be my normal self, I should say, and that I would be quicker without the pain, I think.
Right.
And yet at the same time, as crazy as it is, it's harder. At the same time, I feel I'm very much more thankful. As well, because I can see God's hand in so many aspects. So it's like I feel like I'm on this like major tension of I can see the power of Christ in this, and I'm rejoicing in that, and I can see him working in me, and I can see the evidence that he is actually revealing some things that need to be dealt with that maybe were latent because I wasn't uncomfortable. There's something about being made uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That it just pushes.
Yep.
That
it takes
reveals.
Us out of our comfort zone.
Right.
Different
and,
ways.
And so part of to hold myself accountable what I'm doing is like I did this with my pastor. Pastor Kurt came up after church on Sunday and he's like, hey, how you doing? You know, the way Pastor Kurt does. I'm like, I'm just confessing my sin. Like, I just, like, I look down. It's hard to be holy when you hurt. And he looks at me and he laughs and he pats me on the back. You're right.
Well, we are. We know.
Yeah.
That's just human. You know, we have pain, we feel it.
Right.
Yep.
And I think this is why Paul wrote this letter. You remember we studied the importance of us being the stars that shine bright so that people can see. And he gives us the biblical examples of himself and Epaphroditus and Timothy as people that we can follow that are role models. He even challenges, we'll find as we get further on in the book, he's going to challenge us to look for the people around us that we see Jesus in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I'm dealing with this circumstance, I have the dean of men's son is also going through circumstances where he also is having to kind of like relearn to walk. And I'm like, can we just meet? And because both of us are going through the same process, you know, and for different reasons all the way together, all the way, you know. And it was so encouraging to meet with him and for both of us just to share our story of how we're learning from God, what we're struggling with. And I just felt better equipped to rejoice. And so one of the things that I think is powerful about rejoicing is it's good for our heart and our mind because it's training us up But Paul is telling this to them in community. And it's because, and I'm going to start crying, because it's in community that it makes a difference when we are willing to say, yeah. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus. When our culture and our everything about our world is telling us we can't say his name, we can't trust him, we can't turn to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For us to look to each other and say, I'm going to rejoice. Mm-hmm. And he's telling them, and we're going to read it in the verse, he says, this is your safeguard. I am not going to get tired of telling you this because this is your safeguard. If you rejoice, you choose joy in Jesus, this is what's going to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus so that you will be strong. And I mean, it has to be done in community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think everything that we experience, he's going to use it mm-hmm. if we allow him to, mm-hmm. you know, and there you're mm-hmm. allowing him. I know when I was a widow, I used that with other people right. that have gone through that because those are who understand.
Right. Yeah.
The ones who have gone through the same thing. I mean, other people might say they understand, but they can't unless they've gone through it.
Right.
And I mean, that's also something that's really special about just being involved in a church because there are people in all circumstances, all walks of life.
Right.
Correct.
And there are people who have experienced pain.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to, like, being able to, it's not quite camaraderie, but like to be able to have encouragement from people who have gone through similar things to what you have gone through, and also to just be able to see people who are further down that road or different things
hope.
Like that. Yeah, it gives hope.
Yeah,
and
that they went through.
Yeah, and just the whole being able to share the joys and sorrows with other people in the church, even if you haven't experienced.
Yeah.
Similar
you can
things.
Still encourage.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's the fellowship of the suffering.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Paul says to the people of Philippi, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to read that again. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say that you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes. Everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I'll repeat that one again. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. May God honor the reading of his word. So good. I like reading this. Like, as I'm reading, I'm like, God, it just ministers to me. I hope somebody else out there, as you're listening, that it just, I don't know, calms your heart.
Yeah, something about reading the Word of God, and it just goes into your heart. And
it does.
Makes you smile.
It makes me good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, so we started off with the question, where in your life do you need to rejoice? And essentially, Adriana nailed it. Where should we not? The answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
And we had pointed out last time that apparently that the Church of Philippi needed to rejoice. I had written down that Bible Knowledge Commentary, and I didn't say it last time, I wanted to say it this time, that the cure for discouragement is to rivet one's attention to the Lord and to rejoice in him. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that they use the word rivet.
Me too. Yep. Rivet. That's interesting.
Yeah, I need to rivet my thoughts.
Yeah.
Like a little rivet. I don't know. Just kind of.
I need to look that word up.
I need to look that word up too. We kind of like that word. Do you like the word?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, definitely. Let's all just say it. Rivet.
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 Okay, now we sound like frogs.
I know. I was thinking that.
Dee's like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. People, people, people. The other thing that I saw that was really cool, Mattoon's Treasury says, this was just powerful. He said, joy is indestructible. Okay, joy is indestructible.
Yep.
Why is joy indestructible? Why would he say that?
I don't know. I think it's because it comes from the Lord, yeah. The joy.
Because it's not internal like every Correct. Other emotion.
Yeah, it's not an emotion of up and down emotion.
Right? It's no, his strength. It's not ours.
That's right. From
it
the
is
Lord.
100% yeah. him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I was and like, it's based on something that isn't us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which,
That's
yeah.
why it's not, yeah.
Exactly. So within the writing, when he was using the Greek, he, you know, it's like we don't see these things in the English language because it's not the original language it was written in. But the word in Greek for safe, he says, you know, I do this as your safeguard, a safeguard for your faith. It comes from, I'm going to butcher this, so just forgive me, asphaltes, which is like asphalt. Mm. And it means to be firm, to be certain. It's the true idea of not failing. So when we rejoice, whenever we have, when we rejoice, we're actually going to be able to stand firm, be certain, and not fail. And that's pretty awesome. That's, he's like doing a play on the words. And I think that's where it's so helpful to go in and look at that and to see what's happening. And the Holman New Testament commentary said, righteousness cannot be gained by our works. It is found only by faith in Christ. Therefore, forsake all things to know him and press toward the goal of spiritual maturity, keeping view of the goal of your eternal home in heaven. And so as Dee was saying, it's the difference between eternal versus the external, the things of this earth, the temporal.
Yeah, and the Greek also says, like, safe is sure.
Right.
So it's sure.
Right. Certain. Yeah.
I love
sure.
that.
Sure. Certain. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So our safeguard, it's the safeguard of our faith, the ability to guard it. And so then all of a sudden Paul goes radical with, it's like he has this like challenge and then he gives, boom, a heavy warning. Mm-hmm. And he starts, as I don't remember which commentator is like, it's almost like he starts shouting at this point. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. And I was like, whoa, wow. And where did this come from? All of a sudden, you know, he's telling them, and whatever your circumstances, you choose to rejoice. But then all of a sudden, bam, he gives this warning about these dogs. And most of the commentators reference the fact that the dogs are what he would call the Judaizers. Yeah. And they were the ones that would say that the new believers in Christ would have to go back and do the Jewish laws, is what, and he, you know, obviously that's not the case because it's only by faith. And that's the reason why he wants their faith safeguarded. And so he gives the warning because the whole goal is to guard their faith.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
It's really interesting because, like, I don't know, this is kind of a tangent, so hopefully we have enough time. But when I have, like, looked into, or, like, when you look at other religions, every single one of them is based on what you do, with the exception of Christianity.
Works. Yeah.
And this is the only religion where it is based on what God has done and nothing that you have done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all we're asked to do is simply believe that God did this for us, you know? And so the Judaizers, they're bringing in the works again. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of fits because Paul is very much saying, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in what God has done for you. Rejoice in his character. Remember this. And if you are instead focusing on what, starting to slip and starting to focus on what you do and how you can achieve salvation through doing these things rather than what God has done, then of course that is going to steal your joy.
Right.
And so this is just kind of the perfect continuation of his thought.
Because
he's starting off with, rejoice in the Lord and look out because these people are going to steal that joy.
And don't let them,
And, you know, when I was preparing my lesson, I thought, the crazy thing is sometimes those people, it's me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can be those people. Yeah.
You know, like, all of a sudden, like, without us realizing it, I can become that dog.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the reason is that all, if I just do this, or, oh, man, I didn't do that, and then you do, what, self-deprecation because you mm-hmm. weren't holy enough or you were grumpy or whatever. And so we can actually become the one that is the one attacking what he's trying to safeguard, and that's our faith. Mm-hmm. One commentator said you have to be careful because these very dogs are the ones that if we don't watch, they're the ones that will actually ruin the faith mm-hmm. of people mm-hmm. and cause them to walk away. Mm-hmm. And so guarding against allowing them to have room to where it can lead to destruction in our faith. And it's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. And so he's taking us through that, and he's looking at it. And when we are examining this, the safeguard that he's trying to guard against, I was thinking through this. It's like, okay, that safeguard would be, I don't know, my moral behavior. It's going to be my theological thoughts because, all right, he, you know, I can't go around telling or doing something by effort and like and all. But at the same time, guarding against having my theology of God being off. And so he's trying to protect that. We're really honing in at Grace about having the heartbeat of God. And with the RAs, we're challenging them to have the right attitude. We should have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. Mm-hmm. And so he's talking to them about that these dogs will shake their thoughts, these dogs will shake their attitudes, these dogs will shake their actions, because if it affects your thoughts, it affects your attitude, then affects your actions. Yep. And so you have to watch them so that you don't allow them room to do that. And by choosing to rejoice, choosing joy, we're creating that memory, sensory memory map in our mind of building in holiness, the process of sanctification taking place, so that our thoughts can become holy, so thereby we will change our attitude and thereby change our actions. And so he's actually giving us what is the basics of growing our faith and how it begins with the mind and then the heart and then the action. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. You need to come back next week because we're going to open up with what are the basics of our faith that he's trying to help us guard and how do we grow those. We're so glad. And if you want to contact us, you can contact us through terrarye.com or opendoormission.org or cultivatinghearts.org. God bless.